So we're here in Ephesians chapter 3, and let me just start out by mentioning this. On Monday of this past week, I was having my regular time of devotions, and I found myself confessing to the Lord certain discouragements of my own heart, and certain discouragements and really some areas that just at that day, on that time, there's just kind of a loss of motivation. And I don't know if you ever have things like that, you know, those feelings that are there and just dealing with that. And I got to thinking about weariness. And I mentioned this before on a Wednesday night. But weariness is an ever-present threat to believers and to people who are walking with the Lord. The Greek term that's translated weariness in many translations is translated in our translation as these two words, to lose heart. To lose heart. And the definition here is to lose weariness or losing heart is to lose motivation in continuing a pattern of conduct or an activity. So you're engaged in something, and after a while, for whatever reason, you kind of lose desire, you kind of lose motivation to continue in that activity or that pattern of conduct. You might even use the word discouragement, right? That'd be another word possibly that you could use for this. And so what I did was, in my devotion, I took kind of a right-hand turn from what I was doing, and I began to look up in the New Testament places where that losing heart, or that Greek term for weariness, is, to take a look at that in order to encourage my own self in the Lord. You know, David would say this, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, what does that mean? If you have to encourage yourself in the Lord, you might be discouraged, right? And so King David had to do that. We have to do that. You have to do that. Pastors have to do that. That's just part of the vanity of this life. When we see Him in His glory and we're in the new heaven and new earth, we've got our glorified bodies, I don't think we'll have to deal with weariness anymore. But until then, we have to deal with that. Weariness can come through a lot of different venues. You could be weary because you didn't get enough rest the night before. You went to bed too late. Alarm clock woke you up too early. You can be weary because something happened in the middle of the night. You know, a child gets up, they're sick, they decide they want to throw up all down the hall. And, you know, you got to deal with that. You might be weary because you woke up in the middle of the night. You don't know why, but you woke up in the middle of the night, and thankfully you did use it for profit, and you prayed, or you got out your Bible and used that time. And by the way, that's happened to me. I woke up in the middle of the night, didn't know why I woke up in the middle of the night. The quickest way for me to get tired and go back to sleep is pick up my Bible and pray. Usually within an hour, I'm tired and I'm ready to go back to bed. Okay, but I get an hour in with the Lord. And of course, we all know in the middle of the night, He's not hearing anybody else, because they're asleep, right? And I say that facetiously. But in any case, to use that time, to not waste the wake up, right? And so we can get weary for many, many reasons. We can be weary because of medication we're taking. We can be weary because of disease. We can be weary because of age. We can be weary because of spiritual things going on in our life. You know, there's spirits against our spirit. And we can just be weary for multitudes of reasons. And I don't necessarily think that the Bible would encourage you maybe to find out the specific detail that you're weary about. But it does talk about weariness in general. And so I want to look at four passages that tell us not to be weary. And then one passage that gives us some help with this. So Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13. Paul writes, "Therefore I asked you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory." So you got this phrase, he's telling the church at Ephesus, don't lose heart. Why? Because of my what? My tribulation. So what I wrote down in my notes for this, we can lose heart when we hear reports of another person's suffering. Okay, now that could be nationally, like we pray here, North Korea, Nigeria, right? You hear some of the atrocities that are going on, and it could just tire you out, as it were, on a spiritual level. We can lose heart when we read the newspaper or the internet in the morning and read all the things that are flying around out there, right? And you can lose heart over that. You can lose heart when you hear about another individual suffering. And I'll just share personally for me, we've prayed for our brother up in Ohio who's now with the Lord. When I first heard about that, I was devastated. I mean, it was just like somebody just hit me inside. And I was just really, really, not depressed, but just really discouraged about the whole thing. Sorrow had just filled my soul. Even mentioned his wife, like, why am I? I mean, I hear people dying all the time, you know, why this? Why did this hit me? Well, I didn't have an answer for that. But there is that strong possibility that you can lose motivation, that you can be discouraged as a believer when you hear reports of another person's trials or suffering. That can happen for your spouse. If your spouse goes through suffering, it can really demoralize you, right? And you can question things. So, first of all, we can lose heart at the report of another person's trial or suffering. Go back to the book of Luke, chapter 18, and I know you're aware of this passage. Luke chapter 18. And verse 1. Now he, that is Jesus, was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to what? Not to lose heart. We can lose heart to the place where we even question whether we should pray about something. And it kind of runs something along these lines. You can lose heart in praying about something because of delay to the answer. If I was to ask you, how many of you have prayed about things and you've prayed about things and you've prayed about things and years have gone by and you're still praying for that thing? That can become an occasion to lose heart. Right? And so Jesus tells us, don't do that. Delay can be an overwhelming discourager. Overwhelming discourager. Or we could say something like this. Well, I'm just not going to pray about that because I prayed about other things and God hasn't answered that. And how do I know that he's going to answer this? Okay, we have all different types of ways that thoughts enter our own minds through our sin nature to try to discourage us and to cause us to lose heart, to lose motivation, to continue in a pattern of conduct that we call prayer. And I do think because of the lack of understanding about prayer and the lack of understanding about God's ways, that there are probably believing people who pray very rarely. Because they'll say something like this to you. Well, I prayed about something, or, you know, we heard this case, you know, I prayed about this trial in another person's life and they died. God didn't answer my prayer, so therefore what? Then why pray? And of course, here in Luke 18, he tells us not to do that. Delay weakens resolve. That's called endurance, right? In other words, if I'm running a marathon and at the end of that marathon I start getting tired, what kind of thoughts come into my mind? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you could take a right and go to the car. You know, I paid money to do this. Why am I nut? Am I crazy? You know, all kinds of thoughts come into your mind. Whereas the person that knows that this is going to happen, even though there's that temptation to lose resolve, they just say, keep going. One more step. One more go. Right? And so delay can definitely weaken our resolve, especially if we've been praying something for a long time. Go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I do think that it's not long after one becomes a believer that they don't start experiencing this attack of discouragement. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of what? Doing good. Everybody see that? Do not grow weary of doing good. Now, in the case of the Thessalonians, what was going on was you had people there who weren't working and they were demanding the church to take care of them, meaning to provide them food. And that's a good thing, isn't it? If someone doesn't have food, the church should rally around that member and what? Provide that need that's there, right? That's a good work. Well, what happens when people start taking advantage of that? Well, what do you think? What do you think happens when people start taking advantage of the good that you're showing to them? After a while, you say what? Well, I'm just not going to do that anymore. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, if a person's really not working, they shouldn't what? They shouldn't eat. But you, if you get a sense that whatever good you're doing is not being received properly or is being abused, then you start getting weary in your doing good. And I think every believer has had that. It could be weariness over many, many, many things. And what I wrote down in my notes here was this: we can lose heart at difficulties that arise within a New Testament church. People abusing the good that is there. So we can lose heart when we hear a report of another person's trial or another person's suffering. We can lose heart to the place where we question or cease praying for something that the Bible encourages us to pray for, but it's been delayed. Thirdly, we can lose heart at difficulties that arise within a New Testament church. Now let's go to my last passage here. That's Galatians chapter 6. It says, let us not lose heart in doing good. Why should we not lose heart in doing good? For, in Galatians 6 verse 9, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Or the King James says, if we do not faint. Okay. So, our heart, we can lose heart in doing good. Now, what's going on in the church at Galatia? In Thessalonica, I said you can lose heart at difficulties or when somebody abuses your good. What's happening at Galatia? Well, people are falling away from the Lord. And folks, isn't it true that we can lose heart about doing good when you're in the midst of a people who are falling away? And that's a little bit of what we talked about when it came to number of Americans that are members of churches or synagogues or malls, right? People are falling what? They're falling away. Isn't that discouraging? Don't let it stop your doing good. Or this, when it comes to witnessing to people, is that a good thing to do? But folks, I know I'm not the only one who's experienced this. Because you see so few responses to it, can you not grow weary of it?
Yes.
The answer to that is yes. And Paul says, don't do that. Why? For in due season, we will reap. Isn't that encouraging? In other words, the good you sow, you will reap that good. Okay? From the Lord. In due season, we will reap if what happens? If you don't grow weary, see? Don't lose your motivation doing good, because you're going to reap if you don't lose your motivation. Okay. So that's an encouragement to us to fuel the flame, right? When the flame gets low. And the Bible also tells us that when lawlessness abounds, our love grows cold. So when evil multiplies, there's this stifling, there's this flame quenching type of atmosphere that can go on. Well, what is the answer to all that? And for that, I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So I gave you four areas to encourage us with, and now I want to give you Paul's own answer for this. Now, if anybody had to deal with weariness, it would have been the Apostle Paul. And so he writes, we're going to look at two verses here, verse 1 of chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. For though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Okay. Both those passages, Paul says, here's the reason why we don't lose heart. Okay. That doesn't mean they never experienced a low ebb. No, they experienced low ebbs, but why didn't they collapse in that? Well, there's a reason. And the first reason is given to us in verse 1 when it says, as we receive what? Mercy. Mercy. Folks, the answer to a discouraged spirit is grace. Grace in two areas. Number one, God's mercy. I am so glad that God responds to my low ebbs with greater grace. Aren't you? In other words, folks, you know, I've done this to other people. You know, they're not measuring up. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. And then I just kind of jump on them because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. God doesn't jump on us because we lose heart. What does He do? He gives grace. To what? To lift us what? To lift us up. Isn't that merciful? And of course, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about that, but it's translated there, comfort. It's the strengthening that goes on when God bestows mercy upon us. And I can't tell you as a pastor the number of times that, you know, my life is like this. It's like a little oscillation, you know. You're here, there's those high moments, and then boom, you're on the bottom and you cry out to the Lord. He strengthens your heart. Now you're up here, or you're at, you know, right at that even keel, and then boom, you're down again. Lord, I need mercy. I need grace. And He strengthens your heart and it's right back up. What a mercy that is. That our Lord does that. And He does do that. And then secondly, not only is the answer to a discouraged spirit grace in the area of mercy, but secondly, in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, though our outer man is decaying. In other words, in this case, Paul is losing heart because his body is having bodily issues, right? It's aging, it's decaying, it's weakening. But though our outer man is decaying, yet we don't lose heart. What's happening? Outer man decaying, but we don't lose heart. Why? Our inner man is being renewed every day. In other words, folks, we're being daily renewed internally. And folks, this is why I'm going to conclude by encouraging you with this. When you feel that low ebb, you must go to the throne of grace. Amen? You must go to the throne of grace to confess, I'm at a low ebb. I need your grace. I need strengthening. But the second thing must also happen. You must open your Bible. How is your inner man being renewed daily? Well, what did he say at the end of chapter 3? What did he tell us? We all, with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Didn't he say that? That's renewal, is it not? In other words, persistence, and I'm going to use Paul's language, persistence in the reflective mirror of Scripture, beholding the glory of the Lord, is what will give you that strength. It is that mercy. That's how grace is communicated, remember? And folks, this is exactly in simpler language what Hebrews 12:2 says. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So if you're not discouraged, you're rejoicing, sing a song. Okay? One day you'll be there and you'll need this. But maybe you're there, or maybe you feel like you're on the way down or you're on the way up or whatever. Do the things that are needful, the means that you have, so that the Lord can lift you up in your pilgrimage and be strengthened in the things of Christ. So let's go to our Lord in prayer.